This is Radio Health Journal, a weekly news magazine with the latest in health, medicine, and technology. A closer look at the issues that affect your health and well-being. Prevention, lifestyles, treatments and trends, all from the nation's top experts. I'm Shel Lustig.
I'm Nancy Benson.
And I'm Reed Pence. This week, expert medical witnesses and why the testimony of a hired gun may not always be the whole truth.
If you've got enough of a pocketbook out there, it is fairly simple to find an expert who will say almost anything.
Then, how you can avoid falling victim to a major cause of injury and even death, medical mistakes.
The toll is unbelievable, actually. It's probably one of the leading causes of death in America, rivaling heart attacks and cancer.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal. For some doctors, the threat of a malpractice suit is a fact of life. Overall, about 8% of physicians are sued each year, according to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine. But among neurosurgeons and heart surgeons, nearly 20% per year are hit with a malpractice suit. Juries order doctors to pay damages in less than a quarter of those cases. But when they do, the payouts often run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the stakes in court are high, and they often rest almost entirely on the testimony of expert medical witnesses.
You Google medical expert witness. I just did this morning. Came up with 5,420,000 results, and a great many, maybe hundreds of thousands of these, are, in fact, expert witness procurement services, which in turn have hundreds to maybe 1,000 or more expert witnesses at their disposal. There's a huge market of expert witnesses.
Dr. Louise B. Andrew is an emergency physician and an attorney, one of the nation's most well-known authorities on how doctors can survive medical malpractice litigation. She heads a consulting practice for physicians called MDMentor.com, and she says no matter which side of a suit you're on, you can find a hired gun to testify on your behalf.
Those attorneys, both defense and plaintiff in malpractice, who have been in practice for a while, typically will have, and they even call it this, a stable of experts that they've used in the past that did well for them. And they will tend to go back to that stable because they have an ability to predict how cooperative they'll be rather than going out afresh and finding new expert witnesses. The major defense bar associations and the major plaintiff bar association maintain a whole list of experts and their testimony that have testified as, you know, more or less advocates for one side or the other. Oftentimes, that's where they will go if they don't know where to start looking for an expert.
These experts are well known. Both the defense and the plaintiff sides have their, quote, go-to, unquote, experts that they need in a pinch.
Dr. Bob Patton is a nephrologist, attorney, and medical litigation arbitrator through his practice, MediateNow.biz.
If I'm an attorney trying to represent someone and I either want to sue them or defend them and the facts are greatly against me, there are certain experts that I know I can go to who know the game, who know how to frame their answers in a fashion that they may not really be lying a black and white lie, but they frame it in such a fashion that a reasonable physician would recognize what they are doing, but a jury may not.
If you've got enough of a pocketbook out there, it is fairly simple to find an expert who will say almost anything.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Siegel, CEO of Medical Justice, a firm that seeks to protect doctors from frivolous malpractice suits. He says hired gun witnesses testify unethically or untruthfully a lot more than people think.
There may be more than one opinion on how to skin a cat, if you will, but if you're the only person holding that opinion, that could not fairly be construed as either what a majority or respectable minority in the field would state. So when someone's really off on a limb, I would consider that to be unethical testimony.
However, just how many outright lies are told on the witness stand is hard to know. Juries and judges may have no idea whether what they're being told is really true or not. But Andrew says those who work with physicians involved in court cases have a pretty good idea.
It becomes clear that a lot of things that get said in court are not sensible medically. That is, if a jury of the expert witness's peers was listening to what this expert witness says, many times they would be shocked at what is claimed to be the standard of care. But they know that very small amounts of what they have testified to, if any, will ever come to light and be seen by other physicians. In the past, it's been really behind closed doors. It's been the ability to say more or less anything you can get away with in court, and no one would be the wiser.
All of this is one reason why malpractice is such a big deal to doctors. It's one thing to police legitimate medical mistakes, but the system also drags physicians through the mud and sometimes makes them pay big settlements even if they've done nothing wrong. How do they get away with it?
Doctors, because of either their own or others' experiences within the legal system, are deeply suspicious of the legal system. And so they shy away from it unless they are brought into it kicking and screaming. And when they see that other colleagues in the medical profession have seemingly jumped into it and are seemingly enjoying it and are clearly making a lot of money from it, sometimes to the exclusion of doing what both those people and the individual that's looking at this were trained to do, which is to practice medicine, there's a huge amount of suspicion and a lot of animosity, which I think does pervade the interactions between physicians and testifying physicians and physicians and lawyers, too.
Andrew says that doctors and lawyers approach their jobs from completely different directions. Doctors are paid to search for an answer. Lawyers are paid to clear the path toward the predetermined answer they represent. Patton says many doctors think that kind of advocacy is intellectually dishonest.
I cannot ignore various facts, test results, etc., etc., because I want to get a particular outcome. For instance, if a patient comes into an emergency room with chest pain, has an electrocardiogram revealing what appears to be a heart attack, I cannot, as a physician, say I'm going to ignore that electrocardiogram because what I want this patient to have is arthritis of the chest wall and ribs. I don't want them to have a heart attack. If I do that as a physician, I've committed malpractice. But as an attorney, I can see that patient, if this was some type of legal case, and say, you know what, I want the endpoint to be arthritis of the chest wall, and therefore I'm going to ask the judge to exclude that electrocardiogram because it's prejudicial to my case because I want the outcome to be chest wall arthritis and not a heart attack. That is not an intellectually honest approach, but that is an advocacy approach that is the basis of how the law works. Therein lies the problem that most physicians have with attorneys and attorneys have with physicians.
In the past, unscrupulous doctors didn't have much fear that anything they said on the witness stand would ever be double-checked. But Siegel says that's changing.
In some states, for example, Florida stated this explicitly, expert witness equates to the practice of medicine, and if you come into Florida to testify, you need to get kind of a temporary license. It's not a real license to practice medicine, but you agree that the board can oversee the quality of your testimony and potentially to take action. So Florida, in its most recent tort reform effort, has made that explicit. My guess is they can and will take some action down the road. Other states really want nothing to do with it. They've basically said that expert witness testimony is something that happens in a courtroom. We don't have the resources or perhaps the mandate through statute to address it.
Florida is also among the states that now prevent doctors from testifying against those who practice in completely unrelated fields. So now an eye doctor can't testify on the competence of a heart surgeon. Some doctors have also started to take matters into their own hands, hiring firms like Medical Justice, Siegel's firm, to prevent unjustifiable threats. Patients may see it in a form that your doctor might ask you to sign.
We've put into place a contract that the patient signs with their doctor before care is rendered, and the contract is quite simple. This is what it says. If there's a legitimate dispute, each side will use board-certified experts in my specialty who's a member of and follows a code of ethics for my professional society. Now, the reason that's important is because it constrains the universe of experts to those who are reputable and accountable. In my particular case, I was sued one time, and the single expert who testified against me had previously been expelled from my professional society, the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. So if I had had enough foresight to implement the agreement that I just described, this individual, who was not a member of my professional society, would have been foreclosed from testifying. That is, he would not have been able to show up and deliver his message. And my guess is, my educated guess, is that no one would have shown up, and I don't think I ever would have been sued in the first place.
The idea isn't to prevent patients from suing if they've suffered a legitimate injury. The goal is to cut out unethical testimony. But Andrew says testifying can be dangerous, even for board-certified doctors who are doing their best to be honest.
Unfortunately, there is no training in medicine for performing this role. And in fact, the role is a lot more complex than it seems because they're entirely different professions with an entirely different language and an entirely different approach to problem solving. And physicians who get involved in medical expert testimony often do not realize that their actual legal role is to help the court, and by that I mean the judge and jury, not to help any lawyer or any party to the suit. Physicians are helping people, and they tend to help individuals in their practice. So when they get into a court case and they haven't really studied the science, they kind of attach to whatever party they're working with and become more or less a servant to that party rather than to the system, which is the actual group that needs their help.
Most of the time, an expert witness has been brought through the whole process by the lawyer who's hired them. Those are the eyes they see the case through. So Andrew says an honest doctor, especially one who's never testified before, may obliterate the truth and not even know it.
Because the lawyers are the advocate, can and often is very one-sided. That is to say, the lawyer may very well only give the physician, the proposed expert witness, those pieces of information about the case which support their theory or their view of what happened in this case that resulted in this outcome. At the very beginning, if the physician hears these factoids that are not necessarily complete, can begin the process in training the physician expert witness into becoming an advocate for the side that has contacted them, rather than being able to look clearly at the entire picture and form a totally unbiased opinion.
In many jurisdictions, judges have the power to bar certain testimony if the judge thinks it's unethical. But judges aren't medical experts either, so they often let the jury decide who to believe and who to discount. That means normal people serving on a jury for a medical malpractice case. It's a surprisingly common occurrence. So Andrew has some red flags that could help you decide who to believe.
An expert who's testifying in a medical malpractice case ought to be as similar as possible to the defendant in the case. The reason for that is that if the lawyer can't find, and that means lawyer for defense as well as a lawyer for plaintiff, can't find an expert witness who's really very similar to the defendant, then that means they had to kind of scrape the barrel to find somebody who would advocate or say what they wanted them to say in the case.
Andrew says if the defendant is board certified, the expert witness should be too and in the same specialty. They should practice in the same kind of setting because a big city doctor practices differently than one in a rural area. The expert should also have recent experience performing the procedure in question. If he's been retired for 20 years, you have to wonder how relevant his experience is. But even if we never serve on a medical malpractice jury, the use of expert witnesses impacts all of us. The more doctors fear lawsuits, the more they practice defensive medicine, ordering x-rays, CT scans, and other diagnostics just to provide an ironclad justification for their actions. Extra tests contribute to the rising cost of medicine, and occasionally people are harmed or even die. It's not that doctors mind being held accountable, they just want it to be a fair fight. You can find out more about Dr. Louise B. Andrew at mdmentor.com. Information about Dr. Bob Patton is at mediatenow.biz, and Dr. Jeffrey Siegel can be found at medicaljustice.com. Or you can find links to all of our guests at our site, radiohealthjournal.net. I'm Reed Pence.